Would you turn with me in your scriptures to Mark chapter 1? We're going to read together Mark 1, verses 40 through 45. I invite you to hear what the Spirit says to the church from Mark chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to him, that is to Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere. So far, the reading of God's Word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to invite you to consider something with me this morning, that what threatens the leper in our text threatens each one of us as we gather here this morning. What I mean by that is when you look at the context in which this leper would find himself, he would find himself in the midst of a society that had put him into a particular camp, that had put him into a particular place. And they, as a society, had put restrictions on him so that he couldn't participate in the normal activities of the societal life. When you find yourself in the place of the leper, you're also going to find yourself in a place where the fear of his disease and the fear of those social constructs would keep him in a place where it would paralyze him from doing anything about his circumstance. It was often the case when those who had leprosy, they would find themselves just gathered together in small colonies, afraid of even trying to engage in social life as it was. If you find yourself in the place of the leper, you might even find yourself in a place where you have a physical illness that makes your body ache and disheartens your walk with Jesus. You see, what threatens the leper is what threatens each of us. Over the past week, I was able to listen to a podcast in which there was a man by the name of David Brooks. He's a New York Times columnist. And he wrote a book recently called How to Know a Person. And this, I guess his podcast was from about 5 years ago. And in that podcast, David Brooks began to talk about a growing problem that he had been experiencing in his interviews across the generations. He said over the past 15 to 20 years, those who self-report that they are more lonely today than 5 years ago was up by nearly 20%. What threatens the leper threatens us. There's something growing in our world today where there is social restriction placed on people that begins to isolate them from one another. There's something going on in our world today where there's fear that paralyzes us from being able to connect to other people. David Brooks is an interviewer by trade. He's a journalist, so he interviews people regularly. And he says it wasn't defined by one demographic. It was broadly speaking, this is the trajectory of our culture today. What threatens the leper threatens us. It doesn't take long for us to think about the people we know and we love who have illness that makes their bodies physically ache and at times disheartens them in their walk with the Lord. I want to invite you to put yourself here in the story, in the middle of this experience with the leper, feeling his kind of state of the union, if you will, his state of being, and remember that it finds each of us pretty quickly in a similar place. And when you can find yourself there, I want to invite you to hear the good news that this parable is about reminding us and teaching us that in the kingdom of God, hearts are cleansed. And when Jesus cleanses our hearts, he restores us into connection with him, with the Father, with each other. And I want to look with you this morning at the very way that what threatens the leper threatens us, but to look with each other this morning at about how humble trust brings quiet reconnection. Humble trust bringing about quiet reconnection. To get at that, look with me, if you would, again, back at verse 40. In verse 40, we find the posture of this leper as a posture of humble trust, a posture that comes to Jesus, and in some regards, he's breaking most of the social norms of that day in order to demonstrate his faith and express his faith in who Jesus is. And so if you look at verse 40 in particular, a man with leprosy, we talked about his posture, came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. Again, two things to notice. He comes to Jesus. He moves towards Jesus. We're going to look at a passage later on that describes the way a person with leprosy had to behave in community. But let me just, spoiler alert, they were not allowed to approach other people. In fact, they had to stand at a distance and cry to the other person, yell at them that they were unclean, don't come near. And so on one hand, this man breaks the social convention. He breaks the social rule. He moves towards Jesus. He comes to him, and he comes to him on his knees. He comes in a posture of humility. He comes in a posture of need. He comes in a posture recognizing who Jesus is. There's something about this man named Jesus that is different than the rest of the community around him. He knows that with this man, Jesus, there is healing to be found. The whole of this man's posture is a posture of humility, of a life bowed before Jesus, literally and figuratively. Now hold that picture and then remember back to the story that Cassie read for us, the story of Naaman. And remember the great pitfall in the story of Naaman. When Naaman, through the wisdom of his servant girl, went to the prophet Elisha and found out how he could have his leprosy cured, and what the prophet told him was to go dip in the Jordan River, which was known for being dirty at the time. And all he had to do was dip 7 times into the Jordan River and his leprosy would be gone. It was below him. It was beneath him. It was too degrading. And so he wouldn't do it. Consider the different posture of his heart at that time. It was a posture of pride. It was a posture of being too important or too big to do something so lowly. You hear the inverse of the story as Jesus tells us this story about the leper who comes to him bowed before him. This story helps us begin to experience life in a posture of humility, but also trust. I'll be honest, this is one of my favorite lines when it comes to teaching about the sovereignty of God. When the leper comes to Jesus and he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This is such a statement of trust that this leper comes and he approaches Jesus with. He knows. He knows that Jesus can heal him. He does not doubt the power of Jesus. He does not doubt the power of God to cleanse him from this disease of the skin. He does not doubt the power of God to restore him back into life within the community. He does not doubt the power of God to do the very thing that he asks. But he simply says, if you are willing. If you are willing. This man, by his simple phrase, puts his complete trust in this man named Jesus. And in doing so, puts his trust in a story beyond himself. He puts himself in a place of depending on somebody else's plan, somebody else's purpose. And I want to invite you to consider how this posture of the leper shapes our walk of faith with Jesus this morning. Where if what threatens the leper threatens us, right? If what threatens the leper is social separation, is physical illness that aches our bodies and disheartens us in our walk with Christ, if there is fear among us that paralyzes us from moving towards other people or even towards Christ himself, if that threatens us, the posture of the leper teaches us to come in humble trust. With knees bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ, in the complete faith that he can, he has the power to heal and to forgive and to cleanse. But yet it comes in trust that we submit ourselves to his bigger plan. A bigger story. A deeper wisdom. And I recognize as we sit here this morning that can be a hard place to be. Because I look out and I see faces of people I know and I love who have walked through really difficult times, who have experienced incredible loss, who are standing on the edge of waiting for a doctor to say, the cancer's gone, but not knowing if we'll hear it didn't work. See, this is the place where the leper's story meets us. It meets us in that moment of deepening trust in a bigger story that God is writing. Now hold yourself there, because what threatens the leper is what threatens us. And it's an invitation to come and kneel before Jesus again, the trusting the power and welcoming the bigger story. And then listen to how Jesus responds. The text tells us that Jesus was indignant. And he reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that word indignant, it doesn't always strike me as my favorite word that could be used. I didn't get to write the Bible, so they didn't ask me, I guess. But it seems like an odd word. Other translations, they kind of translate it away, and it says Jesus moved with compassion. But when you dig into this Greek word, the way in which the word is actually kind of bubbles out is that something happens about right here in Jesus. His guts begin to churn. Something moves inside of him, and it's passion, and it's fury, it's compassion. It's indignation. That truly is the best word that we have. Something gets riled up. Some fire begins to get kindled inside of Jesus when this man comes to him and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And so it makes us ask the question, what is Jesus indignant about? We might think that, well, Jesus is indignant that a leper, one socially ostracized, came and approached him and he wanted to be healed. Maybe that's it. That doesn't match the character of Jesus that we hear anywhere else. Especially since what happens the next verse, the next sentence, is that Jesus reaches out and touches him. You see, what we come to understand is that when we look at the life of Jesus and the character of Jesus, Jesus gets indignant. But he doesn't get indignant at a leper who seeks healing. He gets indignant about the way in which this experience of life, its illness and its social ostracization, the way in which this man has been forced to live outside of the community. Jesus gets indignant that that is the life that is the result of brokenness in the world. Jesus gets indignant. Some fire gets burning inside of Jesus when he looks and he sees the brokenness and the heartache and the illness in this world. That's what Jesus gets indignant about. He gets indignant about the ways in which the devil is trying to unseat all the work that the Father has been trying to do. Jesus gets passionate about the social chaos, the physical illness, the spiritual isolation that this man is experiencing. And so what does he do? He reaches out and he touches the man. And he says, I'm willing, be clean. See, the fire that begins to burn in Jesus' heart is a fire that causes Jesus in this very moment to give us a bigger picture of the kingdom, the bigger picture of what Jesus is about. Because in that one act of reaching out and touching the man, of demonstrating his willingness to cleanse him, Jesus breaks the social, the physical, and the spiritual barriers that were placed upon him and this man in that culture. Jesus breaks in to the very things that would threaten to keep them disconnected. And verse 42 tells us that immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I would submit to you this morning that we want a little bit more of Jesus' indignation in our world today. I would submit to you this morning that we need a heart of faith and eyes of faith that look for and to seek out this indignation that is being talked about in this passage. Where we hear the heart of our Savior again looking at those very things in our world that are broken and hurting, whether it's illness, whether it's loss, whether it's conflict. And what we see in the heart of Jesus and what we see in his eyes is that he hates it and he's angry against it. And his work that he has come to do is to cleanse us from it and bring us back into restored connection and relationship. And even at times, the healing of our physical ailment. But not always. That's left for him in his greater plan. See, Jesus is moved. He's indignant about the things that so often try to isolate us from him and from each other. So we have this experience where Jesus speaks directly into those things that threaten us, that try to isolate us. And Jesus says he's willing. He's willing. He has the power and he's willing in this particular situation to heal the man. And so he heals the man. The man is cleansed immediately. The power of Jesus is displayed in his life in this particular way. And then he tells the man how to respond, how to react. And I want you to take note with me that there's two different reactions that are given in our text. One is helpful, one is not. One is the way we so often find the kingdom of God working in the book of Mark, and one is the way that that work gets hindered and distracted. Look with me first, verses 43 and 44. It says, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Often this is recorded about the book of Mark. It's called the Markan Secret. Mark has several places throughout his gospel where Jesus does some profound miracle. Jesus says some profound teaching. He works miraculously in someone's life, and he says, don't tell anybody. My time has not yet come. And there's this thread and this theme that Mark wants us to see that so often the work of Jesus and the work of the kingdom in our lives is much more quiet. It's much more hidden. It very rarely is big and splashy, but it happens one life connected to another life at a time. So Jesus says, see that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests, offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. See, Jesus was living into the very experience of his understanding of how the world worked. He was telling this man, you've been cleansed, now go, make the sacrifice, show the priests, give testimony to them that you are healed. Jesus is saying, do the things that will remind the community that you've been restored and you've been reconciled and you are being brought back into the social settings and the physical settings and the spiritual settings that you were meant to be part of. But do it quietly, one conversation at a time. Let the hiddenness of the work of the kingdom continue to take place. Mark kind of captures this idea. This is Mark chapter 4. Jesus is telling a story about how the kingdom works. And he says, the kingdom of God is like a man. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. You see, he's giving us this picture of how the kingdom of God works. It works whether we know it or not. It works night and day in the quietness and the hiddenness of the movement of Jesus Christ. So he says to this man, this leper who has been cleansed, just go show yourself to the priests. Your humble trust has brought you cleansing and healing. Now go reconnect to the community. But you'll notice that's not what the man does. Verse 45. Instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. And I would submit to you that this at first blush might be exactly what we think we should do. Jesus has cleansed us, he's healed us, he's restored us. We want to go out and we want to tell as many people as we possibly can. We have good news that we want to share. We have the right answers that we want to proclaim. We have the truth that needs to be heard. But if you notice, what this man does actually hinders the work that Jesus came to do. In Mark 1, verse 38, it said, Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, to other towns, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come. See, Jesus understood that his calling was to step into the synagogues and to preach the good news of the kingdom. Jesus knew that his work that the Father had sent him to do in these early seasons of his ministry was to proclaim the kingdom. And what this man did is he blurted out everything that had happened was to actually hinder the work that Jesus had come to do. So we might say something like this. The right news at the wrong time can often hinder God's work. Again, verse 38, Jesus' work was to preach in the towns, but the right news at the wrong time didn't allow Jesus to enter the town. I want to invite you to maybe think about how that's true for us as we navigate our walk with Jesus as well. How the right news at the wrong time can at times stall out what God is up to in our hearts. I've had more than one person come back to me after they've had a loved one pass away. And there's a phrase that's true that is often said, but it's just at the wrong time. Where someone will come and they will say, well, at least they're in a better place. It's true, but it's the wrong time. And that's maybe just one way to think about how this same experience for the man who had leprosy is like that. We can say things that are true, but it's at the wrong time. And it stalls us out in the work that God is trying to do in our hearts and in our lives. Maybe it's just an invitation for us to not get ahead of what God is up to in our own lives and in the lives of others. Now, if you would come with me to the last verse that we read. Because I want to bring you to a place where you watch what Jesus does for us. You see, what threatens the leper threatens us. There is a sense of isolation. There's physical illness. There's spiritual component to it. Jesus is indignant about the things that separate us. He's indignant about the illnesses that we face. And Jesus breaks those social conventions. He reaches out. He touches the man. He heals us. And he does it one life at a time, at his own pace. But then come with me to verse 45. And I want to bring you, if I could, to the heart of the gospel, of where Jesus himself exchanges places with the leper. After this experience that this man had, and after he had gone out and he had told all the good news at the wrong time, it says, but Jesus stayed outside in lonely places, yet people still came to him from everywhere. It's this idea of lonely places that I want you to hold on to for a moment and then hear these words. This is Leviticus 13, 44 to 45. This is the world in which this leper was operating. It said, anyone with such defiling diseases, they're speaking here of leprosy, must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have this disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone and must live outside the camp. This is the parameters that are given to anyone who has any one of those several skin diseases that they call leprosy in the Bible. And in order to live obediently and faithfully, you had to be outside of the camp and alone. Now here again, where Jesus found himself. But he stayed outside in lonely places. I believe that when Mark writes his gospel, Mark is writing this story in such a way that gets us at the heart of Jesus and the heart of the gospel itself. That at the heart of our understanding of Jesus' work as in substitutionary atonement, Jesus exchanges his place for ours and our place for his. Jesus exchanges places with the leper, when he reaches out and he touches him. He breaks the social convention. Jesus exchanges places with the lepers when he reconnects this man to the community and to the spiritual world and to the body of believers at that time. And instead of Jesus being in the towns, Jesus now finds himself outside the town in the lonely places. Friends, it's the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ where he exchanges places for us. And it's not just Mark, it's Paul. Paul captures the same idea, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we, though that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you hear the same heart of Jesus, the same place where he's exchanged places with us? So that we're brought back into relationship with the Father. So that he carries for us the places that would disconnect us from him and from each other. So friends, I want to invite you back to this question that we've been wrestling with. How is it that this passage teaches us to inhabit time? To live every day as we walk with Jesus? I think it starts by asking the question, what threatens you, me, just like what threatened the leper? What is it in your life right now that would seek to disconnect you from God, from others? What experience do you have right now of illness that makes your body ache? It makes you disheartened in your walk with God. What experience of life right now do you have that's like the leper that would seek to maybe unravel the fabric of faith and trust? Because it's in that very moment that to inhabit time, to walk with Jesus in these moments, it requires the posture of the leper. Humble trust in the hiddenness of God's work in our hearts. Letting him cleanse us and make that great exchange. And so maybe for you this morning, you need to exchange loneliness for love. Or you need to exchange faith for fear. Except for put that the other way. Exchange fear for faith. Maybe you need to exchange sin for connection and redemption. Maybe you need to exchange pain for comfort. See, this is the invitation as we inhabit time with Jesus. He's able. He has the power to cleanse, to change, to transform us. And the faith that comes in humble trust lets him write the story. So what threatens you like what threatened the leper? Will you bow before him in humble trust? Let's pray together. Father, we want to find ourselves in the same place as the leper this morning. Honest about what threatens us. Kneeling before you in humble trust. Experiencing your indignation at the broken things. And trusting. Trusting the way that you can cleanse us and heal us is by taking it upon yourself and giving us something greater in place of it. So, Father, open our hearts to receive that great exchange. Bend our knees in humble trust. So that we may share the right news at the right time for the glory of your name. To you be the praise, the glory, and the honor as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.